Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Perhaps you've noticed Christians aren't looked upon as favorably as we once were, and we're determined to not retreat in the face of persecution, taunting, legislation that makes life harder for Christians to speak the Bible. I'd like to invite you to join us in our spring matching gift campaign, No Retreat. We are determined to stand firm, and we are inviting you to stand firm with us. We will continue to make as many and more resources as we currently do because we are determined to see our King exalted. And if that matches your heartbeat, would you kindly consider joining us as a gospel partner? Your gift is doubled right now. You can learn more and join us at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome in to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio today. I am Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd is out today at the University of Georgia in Athens. And he's out there doing exactly what Todd does, just walking up to random strangers and making them feel absolutely awkward. And that's what he does. Have you ever met the guy? Seriously, though, he is walking up to random strangers today on campus, and he's asking them questions that most of us haven't really slowed down to think through. What is wisdom? Why do we call some things right and some things wrong? Who gets to decide all of that? Those are some pretty big questions with some pretty big answers. So let's get out to Athens and see how all this goes for Todd.
And this is Jared here at the University of Georgia, Athens. Dude, standing behind us is a sign that says wisdom. You're a Christian, is that correct?
That is correct.
Give me a definition of wisdom.
Wisdom, okay. I would say wisdom is knowing the difference between right and wrong and acting on it.
Okay. I think you're wrong. Yeah. Would you disagree with me?
I would if I heard your explanation.
Okay. I think it's because I think that it's good to do bad things to everybody. All right? So that's my definition of wisdom, being mean to everybody. Why would you tell me I'm wrong?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I could say that like I've been raised with the mentality that, you know, doing right and knowing the difference between right and wrong. But
so your parents told you. But why should I agree with you, or why should you tell me I'm wrong about my understanding of wisdom?
To be honest, a lot of people will say it's very subjective, but honestly, I don't know. I can't say.
All right. If I said to you, Jared, I believe that it's really good if I punched you in the nose right now, would you tell me I'm wrong?
I would tell you you're wrong.
Okay. Who are you to tell me I'm wrong? What would be your reasoning, your rationale, your proof for why I am wrong to punch you in the noggin?
I think being the victim on that end is probably sufficient enough, I'd say.
Yeah. But I like it.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do. Yeah. Well, I hope so. Otherwise, I got really deep problems. Yeah, I think it's a good thing. Why am I wrong?
I mean, you're inflicting pain on someone else, which I personally think is wrong, and I've been brought up with a mentality that's wrong.
You know, there's a group of people who actually think that's kind of cool.
Yes.
Now, why are they wrong?
I mean, I could go to... I don't know. I feel like it's harder to answer than... Like, I feel like it's an easy question, but, like, I'm...
Right. No, I agree. That's why we're asking the question, because I think it's an important question. Who are you to tell anybody what you think is right or wrong, right? Or who am I to tell you what is right or wrong? So if you and I simply have conflicting values, who is the arbiter? Who determines what is correct or not?
Well, this may sound biased because I'm a Christian, but I would just go to the Bible. I feel like that's a source of morality and truth to me, so I would definitely go through.
Why then should I say to you, I'll submit to the Bible? Why would I ultimately give it and say, okay, my understanding is wrong, you're right, I'll do what the Bible says? Why should I do that? Just so you know, I agree with you. You know that. I agree with you, right? But why should anybody, you know, a lot of people out here have a lot of different beliefs. Why should they believe what you're saying, or why should they do what you think is right or wrong?
You know what? I really wish I could answer that, but I've actually in the past tried to witness to people, and I've always come to the point where I'll tell them what I think, and they'll tell me what they think, and it's a dividing line. Who should listen to
you? Right, right. I agree.
But I don't know. You come up with some good questions.
Okay, I'm gonna lead you then. Okay. Who wrote the Bible?
I want to say people who are inspired through the Holy Spirit.
There you go. You got it. That's what Peter said, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it was divinely inspired. Fair enough?
Fair enough, yeah.
Okay, so it would be fair for me to say God wrote the Bible. Would that be okay? Through men.
Yeah, I could agree with that, definitely, yeah.
So the precepts, the principles, the definition of wisdom actually is defined by God in the Bible, correct?
I would agree with that, yeah.
So if you say, I think this is right or wrong, if it reflects what is written in the Bible, then I should do it because not Jared says so, but because God says so.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So wouldn't that ultimately be the source that we would need to run to so that you and I can determine who's right or wrong?
Yeah, I would.
And without it, you and I are going to wrangle all day long unless somebody steps in and goes, no, we've got a higher source of authority. Thus saith the Lord. This is what he says. And now the fight is over.
I would agree with that. The only thing is, I think because there are different religions and different religious articles, everyone will say, well, this is what I think. And obviously ours stems from the Bibles, Jewish from the Torah, Muslim from Quran.
Right.
So.
Right. But you would say that those people are wrong, correct?
Well, I mean, they obviously believe they're right, but I believe in Christianity. I believe in the Bible.
Okay. So if we were out here debating whether or not somebody should punch somebody in the nose, the ultimate arbiter would just simply be, because we could talk about a sociological study or we could do a vote, but ultimately we wouldn't know at the core who is right and who is wrong unless we went to the person who determines and who wrote down what is right and wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
Sweet. Hey, well done. I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right. All righty. Nice kid. Thus saith the Lord. Please say hello to...
Hi, my name is Juan.
Not you. You're supposed to say your name right there. Your name is... I didn't want to say it wrong. Juan?
Johan.
Like John.
Yeah. Hi. How did you know that? Yeah.
Well, it just kind of sounds very, very similar. And you are from South Korea, correct?
Yeah.
How long have you been in the US of A?
Maybe 3 years in total.
3 years in total. All right. Now, South Korea... My understanding is predominantly a Christian nation. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
And North Korea is basically what?
I have no idea, but I heard that it is not allowed to believe in God.
Yeah, it's pretty awful there what's going on right now. I understand there's somewhere between 100,000 and 200,000 Christians actually being held in some sort of a prison camp in North Korea. Are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
You are? Yeah. What kind? Let me guess. Presbyterian.
Yeah, that's right.
You know why?
Why?
There's a lot of Presbyterian Koreans, especially, I'm not kidding, in Georgia. There are. I know that.
Yeah. There is a Korean church.
There's a lot of Korean church. Are you kidding me? They're all over the place. They're everywhere. Because when I first moved to Atlanta, it's like, why are all these churches with, you know, a language I can't read? I actually stopped one day inside of them and I said, why are there so many Koreans in Atlanta? Do you know why there's so many Koreans in Atlanta?
I don't know, but...
I do. Delta Airlines, because it's a big hub here and it's also in South Korea. The education system, they like certain parts of it. And the weather here is pretty nifty. So there's just a lot of Koreans that have congregated here, and they sort of dig the educational system.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Especially the weather part.
Especially the weather part. Yeah. All right. Now, I would like for you, Juan. No, that's not right.
Yeah, that's right.
Did I do that right?
Almost close.
All right. I don't want to confuse it with Juan. Okay, so Juan, tell me why I should become a Korean Presbyterian. Or just a Presbyterian?
That's a tough question.
Why are you a Presbyterian?
I don't know. I didn't have a choice, actually. So when I was born, my parents are Presbyterian, so I didn't have a choice.
They paid-o'd you. They went ahead and baptized you as a little baby, right?
Yeah.
That's what Presbyterians do. Yeah. All right, but now you're a grown man, right? Are you still a Presbyterian?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Why?
because I never thought about like changing.
Do you think I could persuade you to become, say, a Buddhist?
No.
A Hindu?
No.
A cult?
I don't think so.
A multi-level marketing scheme? Nothing. Why? Why do you tenaciously hold to your Presbyterian faith?
Because I'm so used to it, and then, like, just because I believe in God, and I never thought about, like, other gods.
Are you fully persuaded that your God is the right God?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Why?
You're doing fine, by the way. You're doing just fine. Not many people ask these types of questions. So this is sort of like going through, if you were Lutheran, this would be like confirmation. So no big deal. So why are you convinced that your God is the only true and living God?
I don't know. I can just say, like, that's because I believe in the God that I believe in. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a very tricky question, and I never thought about that question, like, in more in deep.
Fair enough. Juan, did I say that right again?
Yep.
You're a gentleman, and I thank you for talking to me, okay?
And that was a young man from South Korea, Presbyterian, I do believe he said. More Witness Wednesday from the University of Georgia is straight ahead. This is Wretched Radio. No Retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. This 13-episode series walks through every major argument you'll hear and shows you how to respond with clarity and compassion. You'll also hear from voices like Paul Washer and Dr. John MacArthur, bringing the weight of Scripture to an issue the world wants to keep shallow. You won't find angry debate tactics or gotcha moments. No, this is thoughtful teaching that engages the mind and the heart, because the goal isn't to win an argument. It's to change minds and point people to Christ. Life is Best. All 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers.
Gregory of Nazianzus was the bishop of Constantinople in the 4th century. He wrote important works on the Trinity and the person of Christ. Gregory described the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and taught that Jesus is fully God and fully man. His arguments are still in use today. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio, and Todd is out at the University of Georgia in Athens, and he's been talking to students today, asking the big questions, the questions that I don't think a lot of us have put a lot of thought into. And honestly, when you're asked one of those questions, you can be a very smart and sharp person, but when you're asked where morality comes from or who decides what's right and wrong, now you're going to get to the bottom of whether your worldview holds up or not. And that is exactly what we're hearing happen on Witness Wednesday. And we're going to go back to Athens now to listen to even more.
Welcome to Wretched. Hey, dude. Nice to meet you. You are?
Darian.
Darian. I'm going to take these off because I just don't like the barrier between us.
Perfect. Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Dude, you are like the sharpest dressed man on the entire Georgia campus. What's going on?
You flatter me. I actually just had a presentation in one of my marketing classes.
What were you presenting?
I was presenting on an integrated marketing campaign about a company that I started here in Athens. It's a video production company.
Get out of town. Yeah. And look at that. We're doing a video production.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Sweet. All right. Now, I want to ask you a question specifically, Darian. Do you see those signs over there? I don't know if you can read each one, but it says wisdom, justice, and moderation.
Yeah.
All right. What is wisdom?
Wisdom is about, it's about more than knowledge. It's about actually not just knowing like facts or anything like that, but it's actually taking those facts and applying them to situations that deserve them being applied to. So it's not just about knowing a bunch of random things. It's about knowing how to apply the knowledge that you have in everyday situations.
That's pretty good. Okay, is wisdom a good thing?
I would definitely say wisdom is a good thing.
Why?
It's good to be wise because you have the wherewithal to make harder decisions based on past experiences, based on other people's experiences, and you're not caught in the middle of decisions simply because you have no idea what you should be doing.
All right. Now, I would like to ask you a philosophical question. This concept of wisdom, the idea that applying knowledge to a situation for a good outcome is a good thing. Where did that concept come from, wisdom?
If I had to guess, I would say that it was a biblical concept, simply because I feel like that's where a lot of philosophers kind of, that's a lot of what they went to in order to kind of understand what is true and what isn't true. So that's what I would say as wisdom, just because you also find a lot of anecdotes and a lot of stories about, and you find the word wisdom a lot in the Bible about
All right,
this person.
So you think there's wisdom in the Bible, but the concept of wisdom as is written down supposedly in the Bible, where did it come from? Who invented wisdom?
I feel like it was a lot of philosophers that just kind of came about the idea of the, or this concept of wisdom as it applied to what they were trying to define. So, it's,
so men did.
I would say that they were the ones that labeled it as wisdom.
Now, what if I said that I don't like your definition of wisdom? I think that it's wise to wreak as much havoc as possible on society. I think that's wise. Would I be wrong?
I would say that you're... it depends on how you defended that idea. Like you're how it depends on what your definition of wisdom. Are you making that statement?
I'll tell you what. You tell me I'm wrong. I think it's good to make as much trouble as possible. Persuade me that I'm wrong.
Okay. If the purpose, I personally feel like our purpose is to let no one leave you unless they're leaving you better and happier. So
I don't.
Okay, so I guess my question is, why do you feel that's necessary? Why do you feel like you?
I like it.
Okay, does that make you? Is it what like what sort of like do you get? Is that like a like a?
An, I enjoy
you
it.
You enjoy it like deep down enjoy it, just like a surface level, or is like do you get like an erotic like
profound
excitement out of hurting other people? I feel like that's partly the definition of a sociopath. So
how do you know? Maybe I think you're a sociopath.
Well, then what's your definition of a sociopath?
Somebody who's kind of nutty.
Someone who's, well, that's very vague, so
okay.
I'll take that.
But you call me a sociopath, I'm calling you a sociopath. Which one of us is correct?
I would say that based on whoever's closer to the definition of what a sociopath is, so someone who takes delight in the harm of other people without really considering like what sort of negative consequences that may have.
Okay, now keep going with me, you're doing good. Okay. I think the definition of sociopath is somebody who doesn't like to be mean to society. Now what do we do?
Yeah.
So, I have the opposite definition of sociopath than you do. Which one of us is correct?
I would say that I'm correct, because if you're say if factually following your thought process that someone who is a sociopath does not take delight in hurting other people, that means that a sociopath is someone who... No, you said the opposite of that. You said that a sociopath...
This isn't easy. I understand that. I think that it is good to be a sociopath. Why would you tell me, and who are you to tell me I'm wrong?
I'm someone that's as a human being who has, you know, not just my own interests at heart, but also the interests of other people. That's who I would be to tell you that what you're doing is wrong.
I think it's evolutionary to kind of weed out society, kind of thin the herd a little bit, get rid of the weak, survival of the fittest. So I think it's good to get rid of some of those feeble people.
But that's not what you said the first time. You simply said that you wanted to...
And I like it too.
Okay.
My motivation is to also thin the herd.
You want to thin the herd. So basically you have an Oliver Wendell Holmes kind of mentality about kind of this, like, and I guess Darwinism, so like... Only the survival of the fit will be the ones that survive.
Let's go with that. Good reference, dude.
Yeah, and so to a certain extent...
Margaret Sanger?
Yes, exactly. So so essentially, like, what you're saying... That's not what you said the first time. The first time you said that you just simply wanted to cause trouble for people, and, you know, if people die in the process...
Is eugenics wrong?
Eugenics, so the killing of like, what doctors do is...
People that we deem to be mentally retarded, we don't think they should breed. Eugenics.
Eugenics.
Or exterminating a race of people. It was Adolf Hitler wrong?
Yes, he was.
He thought he was right. How do you know?
How do I know that he was right, or how do I know that he was wrong?
How do you know he was wrong?
Because what he did, basically his motivations for doing what he did were completely off base.
What's base?
He blamed an entire group of people for issues and problems that they didn't actually cause or commit. And so by passing the buck to a group of people just to give himself the ability, or basically the right, to exterminate them, that was completely off base. And by base, what I'm saying is that it was wrong. He was basically taking.
But he thought he was right.
But here's the thing: not many people do what they do ideally to just hurt other people for the sake of hurting other people. A lot of people do things just because they have good intentions at heart. Adolf Hitler, as what you look at, he had an idea for what he thought was best for his group of people. What he did was completely wrong. The way that he went about going...
Why?
Was wrong. Because in the process, he went about it in a way of killing certain people who he only believed. He didn't have any physical... He didn't have evidence. He didn't have...
Okay, let me just say, and I don't want this to sound offensive to anybody who is hearing this. Don't hear this the wrong way. If Adolf Hitler were to argue that actually exterminating those Jewish people has been good for the world, and let's just say he could go to a lab, or he had some sociological study, or he went to a university and they concluded it was actually good that he did that to 6 million Jewish people, would he then be right?
He would not be right.
Why?
And it would be on a... What's the word I'm looking for? And on an ethical standpoint, he would not be right ethically.
Who defines what is ethically right or wrong?
I feel like it stems from a lot of what we innately believe to be right and wrong. And so,
But you understand, he innately believed he was right.
I think he had to do a little bit of convincing in order to do that. Or I would go back to that part about him being a sociopath. So you have this obscure...
Let me try this. You're doing good, by the way, all right? The island of Boingo Boingo, they actually have voted... They all agree, the majority, I think it's about 73% of the Boingo Boingies, okay, they believe that cannibalism is good. So they enjoy noshing on Uncle Phil with a mild barbecue sauce. And they've agreed, consensus, the majority, that is the right thing. Now, here in America, cannibalism is wrong. Here's my question. Is cannibalism right or wrong?
I personally believe that cannibalism is wrong, and I think that the majority of the world also believes that cannibalism is wrong.
But the Boingo Boingoes do not. So are they wrong?
I'm fascinated by what sort of, I guess, factors they took into consideration to determine that cannibalism is right.
Yeah, they persuaded themselves. Who are you to say to the Boingo Boingoes, no, don't do that, that's wrong? Why should you be allowed to impose your values on them?
It's not about me imposing my values on them. It's me telling them what my values are.
But you know what? You get my point. Mm-hmm. You're telling them they're wrong. Who are you to tell them that they're wrong? And they would look at you and go, well, you're wrong. Now, how do we know ultimately who is right and who is wrong?
I think it comes down to the idea of capital T truths versus lowercase t truths, and that it depends on where you as a person. So me as a person, I base my truths off of biblical understanding. So I'm a Christian. So I think that there is a certain capital T truth that stems from religious teachings and from God, essentially, and Jesus. And so
I think we just got there. Unless God says this is wrong. You and I could debate all day what is right and wrong because we're just two people. I shouldn't be imposing my values on you and vice versa. Unless we can call on a higher standard or a higher authority, you and I merely have preferences, but we don't have facts. We don't have wisdom. We don't have truth. We don't have a concept of right or wrong, good or evil. Fair enough?
Fair enough, because we are imperfect. So if you're looking to imperfect people in order to come up with a perfect standard, then I feel like that's destined to fail.
I couldn't agree more with that. Young man. Thank you very much.
And let me do what I do best here, and that's interrupt Todd when he's talking. Now, I think he was finished there with Darian, but let me go back to what Darian said there at the end. That's worth mentioning again, because if you're looking to imperfect people to come up with a perfect standard, this whole thing's going to fall apart. And he's right. That really is the problem with every moral system that leaves God out. We can sound smart and we can quote people and have a big polished argument and act like we have everything together. But if the standard that you're living by starts with you, all you really have is an opinion with confidence. That's all it is. And Todd's conversation at the University of Georgia at Athens will continue because more Witness Wednesday is straight ahead. We'll be back. This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.